my personal question is, he wants me, like, we actually, despite what I said, we have a decent relationship, but he wants me to leave him alone, okay? We've been being friends, we've been talking the whole bit. I make a mistake and I revert to an old habit or whatever, and he shuts down. But he made the statement, he wants me to leave him alone. So if I keep calling him for the talk charges, won't that be negative for him?
Okay, great, great question. So you got to give me a few minutes here to really develop the answer, because it sounds like a simple question, and I'm happy to spend a fair amount of time on it, because everybody's got the same question. And the answer to the question is very important. I'm going to share with you here some principles that are crucial to the success or failure of your reconciliation, so I really encourage all of you to listen carefully. The worst thing in the world you can do when someone's asking for space is to give it to them. They do all the wrong things with it. They emotionally detach from you. They use that space, God forbid, to attach to somebody else. They use that space to try to justify their exit or whatever their agenda is. I mean, look, your marriage has, all of your marriages have a certain trajectory right now, and it's not a good one. If it were, you wouldn't be in this program. If you get out of the way and do nothing, so, you know, it's Newton's law of physics, except it applies here to relationships, and that is, you know, once something is set in motion, unless something interferes with it, it's going to continue to go in the direction in which it's going. If you want to turn the situation around, you're going to have to take a tremendous amount of initiative in order to try to create interactions that give birth to new feelings and new experiences that begin to turn things around. And this is especially true if you're in the Lone Ranger track. I'll put it like this. This, I think, is a memorable quote. If you're not getting rejected, you're not trying hard enough. I don't want you to get rejected, don't misunderstand. But I understand, and you should understand, that it's simply part of the process when you're dealing with an obstinate spouse. Because think about it. I mean, it's such simple logic, but I know when you're sitting in your shoes, it's hard to see it. Your spouse, if you're in the Lone Ranger track, which sounds like Tanya is, your spouse has a totally different agenda than you have. In most cases, an opposite agenda. And so, what are the things that you could do that would please them, that they would want you to do? Well, it's the things consistent with their agenda. But of course, the things consistent with their agenda are going to result in you being divorced. And what are the things that you need to do in order to succeed with your agenda? Well, of course, that agenda is reconciliation. That agenda is connection. The things that could breed a reconciliation and a connection are not the things that they're going to want you to do. And so, of course, they're going to respond negatively to it initially. But here's a key point. I'm going to say it twice for emphasis. Just because they don't want you to do it doesn't mean it's not going to work. Just because they don't want you to do it doesn't mean it's not going to work. Their initial reaction might be negative, but just because their initial reaction is negative doesn't mean that it's not going to have a positive effect longer term. Frankly, and I don't mean to sound insensitive when I say this, but frankly, I don't really care what the state of your marriage is this week. I don't really care how your husband or wife feels about you this week, how they respond to the principles and practices you're employing this week. My job is to get you from where you are to where you want to be 6 months from now. And I know, and I'm trying to help you know, you should know, that things always get worse before they get better. why. Let me explain deeper why. I mean, I've given you so far a very surface answer as to why. Basically, if you think about it, you have conflicting agendas. So the things that you need to do to forward your agenda are not the things that your spouse is going to want you to do. But let's dig a little deeper into that. I want you to really appreciate, this is crucial, what's going on for your spouse psychologically and what's going to unfold in your situation over the coming months. The obstinate spouse is telling themselves a story. And that story is what they're using to justify their agenda, clear their conscience, and pave the way for them to exit the marriage, have an affair, whatever the case may be. Now, guess who the villain of that story is? Oh, yeah, it's you. It's you. Now, they need something desperate from you, and that is they need you to cooperate with that story. Because no person exits the marriage, has an affair, whatever you're dealing with. No person leaves the house, separates, files for divorce, has an affair. No person does that without that story intact. Because, again, that story is what gives them justification for what they're doing and clears their conscience. You know, I realize that most of you think your spouse is a jerk. But your spouse doesn't think they're a jerk. They think you're a jerk. And they feel totally justified in doing whatever they're doing. And they need that justification. If they didn't have that story, if they didn't have that justification, then they wouldn't feel okay about themselves having the affair, separating, filing for divorce, whatever the case may be. That story, my friends, is the most important thing in your spouse's life right now. And they are desperate to hold on to it and for it to be compelling. It's their lifeline. They can't continue in the direction that they're trying to continue without that story intact. That story is based on a whole marital history. What they need from you is to just get out of the way. Leave them alone. Give me space. Keep that marital history intact. Don't change a thing, not about yourself, not about our family, because everything that I know of you and our whole marital history and family dynamics, you see, that's all part of this tightly woven story that I'm using to clear my conscience and justify my exit. Now, here's the punchline, my friends. Your job is very simple. I'm going to sum up the whole 7-week program for you in one punchline here. Your job is to ruin their story. When you ruin their story, they lose the justification that they've created to do whatever it is they're doing. And their conscience is no longer clear. And if they lose that justification, and if their conscience is no longer clear, they're gone nowhere, my friends. Nowhere. Now, why is Tanya's husband telling her, leave him alone? And why is he responding negatively when she calls him or gives him a gift or expresses gratitude or makes his favorite dessert or fills up his gas tank or extends some act of kindness? Because you're stealing his story. You're turning that villain into a princess, and he's going to hate you for it. He's going to freak out. That's the most important thing in his life right now that you're taking away from him. As you should, if you want to save your marriage. So things always get better. Oh, sorry, always get worse before they get better for exactly the reason that I just explained. And you should plan on it. You should expect it. And it's so much of what I'm explaining here is so crucial. You see, because if you didn't understand this, if you didn't expect it, then you might be foolish enough to actually gear your actions based on your spouse's response. That's a tremendous mistake. You should never determine your conduct based on your spouse's response. In fact, if you're in the Lone Ranger track and you're dealing with an obstinate spouse, half the time your spouse's response is a great counter-indicator to how you're really doing. And you should be able to explain to me at this point why. But I'll just flush it out for you just to make sure you got it. Because when you're behaving consistent with their agenda, when you're cooperating with them, conceding to them, they're pleased. They'll be quite cordial to you. And you'll be helping them exit the marriage, have the affair, whatever the case may be. But when you reach out to take initiative and try to change the whole marital, or I should say create a new marital history, when you try to start to change the dynamics between the two of you, and you for sure start to change yourself, work on your fixing, form new patterns of behavior, that's going to freak them out. You're poking holes in their story, and they're going to be very frustrated by that. And initially, that's a good thing. You should be killing them with kindness, and don't let up. And keep tugging on that conscience. Keep tugging on that conscience. Keep tugging on that conscience. And be prepared. They are going to do everything in their power to try to shake loose of you. They're going to do everything in their power to try to get you to stop. You're going to hear, you're just making things worse. You're pushing me further away. I wish you would just give me time and space. They become desperate, and desperation leads to people becoming phenomenal salesmen. Don't buy what they're selling. Keep giving. Keep loving. Keep reaching out. Don't just step aside. It's the worst thing in the world you could do. And eventually, they will feel like they just have to get relief from the pounding on their conscience. Now, again, initially they'll try to get relief by trying to get you to stop. They'll do everything to try to get you to stop. They'll do everything to try to convince you to stop. Stop being so good. Stop trying. But if you don't stop, there's only one other way that they'll be able to get relief. And you know what that is? To reciprocate. You see, initially, when things start to turn, when your spouse starts to treat you differently, they do it not because they're feeling differently about you. Sorry to say it. Initially, they do it because they want to feel differently about themselves. But that's okay. I don't care why they start to treat you differently. I just want them to start to treat you differently. And once they start to treat you differently, even if it's for the wrong reasons, that will lead to them feeling differently. And from there, we're off to the races. So Tanya's question, you all would have articulated it differently. I can guarantee you that 90% of you are experiencing the similar dynamic where you're reaching out in what seems to be a positive, loving, and giving way, and yet your spouse's response or reaction is not quite what you're looking for. Could even be negative. Don't be discouraged by it. Or more importantly, don't get derailed. Don't follow their lead. If you do, you're going to end up where they want you to end up, which if you're in the Lone Ranger track, dealing with an obstinate spouse is not going to be good. Why would you follow the advice and the lead of somebody who wants to separate, who's filed for divorce, who's having an affair, who doesn't want to work on the marriage? It doesn't make any sense. Don't do it. Don't do it.